Welcome to Warm It Up Summit, brought to you by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you one of the top speakers in the world, Mr. Chris Salem. Chris, why don't you take it from here?
Tanya, thank you so much for the warm introduction as always. Today I'm going to be talking about transparent leadership for sustainable success. So when you think about transparency, that's something that where you are basically, you know, showing people on the outside who you are. And so depending upon where you are in your business, you want to ask yourself, are you where you want to be? And what type of leadership are you currently using in your business? Whether if you're a solopreneur, whether you're an entrepreneur with a few employees, or you're a business leader or a CEO running a company. More than likely, you're using traditional leadership. And then while there's nothing wrong with traditional leadership, you have to ask yourself, are there certain things that are going on in your business where you're kind of just going, you know, with the flow? And you seem that there are some problems, but yet you just seem to manage the problem rather than operate within the solution. What I'm going to talk to you today about is how transparent leadership can take you away from managing the problem and then going into operating from the solution, that you're able to, you know, able to do things that you weren't able to do before using a traditional leadership model. So what I always like to do when I talk about this subject is to share a story, because a story is something that you're going to be able to relate to see how this form of leadership really could take hold and make a difference in your business. So if there are any football fans out there, they're more or less, those are going to be gentlemen, but there could be also women. I like to use this story because it really is powerful in terms of how it relates to transparent leadership. Now, whether if you're a football fan or not, it doesn't matter. It's just really listening to the story to see how this resonates with you with what we're talking about today. So I want to tell the story of a man. His name was Freddie Steinmark. And he was a football player that played for the University of Texas back in the late 60s until 1970. And I want to give a little background about Freddie. Freddie grew up in the Denver, Colorado area, came from a pretty well-to-do family, you know, brother, sister, family was very tight, did a lot of things together. And what was unique about Freddie Steinmark was from the time he was a kid, he knew exactly what he wanted to do when he grew up. He knew he loved sports, and he knew one day that he would either be a coach, a player, or in some role where he was educating and leading others, serving them. Now, this was amazing for a young kid at his age. So while a lot of kids were out, you know, playing around, goofing off, you know, again, this is back in the, you know, late 50s, early 60s. Freddie, you know, was at that point, knew what he wanted to do. He knew that discipline and habits would play an important role in what he wanted to become when he grew up. So even at a young age, while he was pursuing sports like football, basketball, baseball, he was very diligent in studying the strategy of each of those sports. You know, preparing his body to endure practices and to, you know, perform at the highest level. He began to study the game inside and out. So it wasn't the game itself, but he would look at, you know, what are the different things that he could take away from engaging in these sports. And if you're not a sports fan, you know, a lot of times there are a lot of great things that could come about from participating in sports, especially leadership. And then also strategy. And many times you see that, you know, it doesn't have to be just men, but even women, that when they participated in some type of sport program, they were able to take away certain things later in life when they were in their careers that they were able to utilize to their advantage to take their business and their personal careers to another level. So what Freddie did is, again, he was a student of the game for each of these sports. But he really, really took to football the most, because this was something that required to really know the strategy behind the game, to really understand how to really not only lead yourself, but also lead others, and also take care of one's body to prepare for the, you know, for the physical punishment that one would take playing the game. With that being said, Freddie was out constantly practicing, was out there preparing his body even at a young age. And all of this practice paid off. Because when Freddie went to high school, up until this point, his high school had never won a state championship. They were a mediocre team. And at the time when Freddie came on as a freshman, he was light years ahead of a lot of the kids that were in his space in terms of not only understanding the game, but knowing how to use effective leadership skills to motivate and also instill action in his teammates to move forward. So even while Freddie was a player, he also was like a coach at the same time. And that's what the head coaches and the assistant coaches for the high school team really liked about Freddie. Because here's the thing, a little background about him. He wasn't the biggest guy. He wasn't the tallest. And he wasn't the fastest. But what Freddie had over other people was the tenacity, the perseverance, the knowledge, and even more importantly, the ability to apply that into action to deliver the results. And as a result of that, Freddie played both offense and defense, even though defense was really, 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 really where his game was. And he was able to take that into his fourth year. And in the fourth year when he was a senior in high school, each year he was able to take his team through his leadership and his play and inspiring others to play at the highest level to win more games than they did the year before. And finally, in their senior year, they won a state championship. Now, once Freddie graduated high school, his dream was to lock into a Division I school where he could take his game to another level. But those Division I schools weren't knocking on his door. Matter of fact, Division II schools were not even knocking on his door. And he rarely had any notice from Division III schools. This was because they were looking at his size, his height, his weight. He wasn't the fastest. But what they weren't looking at was his character. They weren't looking at his leadership skills and his ability to inspire others to play at their highest level. But there was one coach that came in to the University of Texas. And at the time, the University of Texas, while you would think, you know, by knowing them now, were not a winner. At that point, the University of Arkansas was the team that always won in their division. And they were always the team to beat. And when Freddie came in, this coach recognized everything that everybody else looked away from. They looked at his way to really understand the game, how he understood the strategy, how he understood his teammates, and how to motivate, inspire them to be more than just focused on himself. They looked at him as somebody that could be an extension of their own coaching staff that could have them take these players that they had to turn them into a mediocre team into a national winner. Now, did this happen overnight? No. It was the same thing with his high school. But each year that Freddie was out there, he got better and better, and the people around him got better and better. And these were people that physically and athletically were far gifted than him. But see, what Freddie had over these other people was he had more heart than talent. And in the long run, it's always the heart that will always prevail over talent. Now, talent's important, but if it's not utilized with the right mindset and being 100% authentic and transparent and knowing your strengths and weaknesses, it will never prevail over having that heart and being authentic. And as a result, Freddie was able to take his team to levels that they never, ever imagined. Now, this was during the time of Vietnam War. And during the Vietnam War, there were a lot of setbacks for certain players. They had brothers that were enlisted, and their star quarterback at the time had lost his brother in battle. And this devastated the quarterback to the point where he was going to drop off the team. He wasn't focused. He couldn't concentrate. But see, what was different from Freddie was he had the ability to relate as a transparent, authentic leader on his team to understand the situation and to be able to have this player begin to see the good in even in things that happen that are bad and be able to see the bigger picture of what his brother would want him to become as a quarterback for that team, not to give up his dream because his brother had lost his life. And through Freddie's friendship and through his leadership, he was able to turn a bad situation back into a good situation to the point when he was in his senior year, and each year they got better and better and better, that he finally took them to the postseason. Now, remember, University of Arkansas was always the team that was a team to beat. And at that time, they had not beaten University of Arkansas in quite some time. And during that game, which was then coined as the game of the century, through Freddie's motivation, through his strategy, through his leadership skills, had the ability to motivate that team to play as one toward a common goal to beat the University of Arkansas. And for the first time in a long time, they were going to go off to the big game. And that big game was to play Notre Dame. Now, something that should be said about this before I get into all the different things what a transparent leader is that during that season, Freddie had been battling a knee injury that was so intense that he could barely walk on it. Because Freddie would always put his team first, he played through the pain. But it was at the point that the coaching staff said that you could not, you know, you needed to have this looked at, that we're not going to play you in the biggest game, which was Freddie's dream. And Freddie went to the doctor to take a look at it, thinking that it could be an ACL, an MCL, but it was far worse than what was expected. It wasn't a tear. It was bone cancer. And this bone cancer had metastasized. Now, this was something that had immediately had to be addressed. And within a week from that diagnosis, Freddie was bedridden in a hospital where they had to amputate his right leg. And when they took the leg, they took it for basically from the hip down. He had one leg. And Freddie's dream of walking out in that field with his team for the biggest game of their lives seemed like it was never going to happen, at least according to the doctors. But what Freddie did was he knew that that having one leg wasn't going to keep him down. I mean, this all happened in a matter of days, that his life was completely turned upside down. His team basically was turned upside down with the news. But Freddie made it clear that he was not going to stay in that bed. He was going to walk out on that field one way or the other. And when game time came, and as the team came out, people were screaming and yelling and cheering the University of Texas, the underdog. And as Freddie came out on crutches with one leg, and they saw him, all of that screaming and cheering all came to a silence. You could hear a pin drop. And as Freddie came out, they wanted him to give a talk to the crowd. But see, all the attention now was on Freddie and feeling sorry that for what he was going through. Everything that he had done for that team, to have this news that could potentially take his life and then take him out of this game, had all that focus on him. You see, what Freddie was able to do as a transparent leader was be able to deflect that attention off of him and back onto his team, to get his team pumped and ready for the biggest game of their lives, and to get the fans focused on why they were there, not for Freddie, but for the University of Texas. And as a result of that, the silence went back to cheering. University of Texas won that football game that day. And while Freddie's presence was not on the field itself, it could be felt from the sidelines. And that team played as one to their highest capability, not from the talent itself, but from the heart. Because that's what transparent leaders do. They lead from the heart, and the heart prevails. And that team has won that biggest game. Now, flash forward a year later, Freddie succumbed to his disease and died. But let me tell you why this story is powerful before I get into the why adopting transparent leadership could change the not only the quality of your life, but also the scope of your business. Long after his death in 1970, Freddie's energy as a transparent leadership still resides at the University of Texas. When you run through that tunnel to go onto the field at UT, Freddie's presence is there. His plaque that everyone touches before they go out onto that field. We're talking almost 48 years later, or technically 48 years later, that his energy to this day is still felt by all of those University of Texas football players that have walked out of that, ran out of that tunnel, and those that ended up becoming pro. And the ones that didn't were able to take that energy and what they learned about Freddie Steinmark to take into their careers, to change lives, to make a difference, and to lead from the heart. Now, what can you take away from this? See, transparent leaders are genuine. They're mission-oriented. They're focused on a common goal for their organizations, for their community, for their families, for people in general. What you see in public is what you get in private. They're transparent. They disclose their strengths. They disclose their weaknesses. But they focus on what they're good at to add value continuously to others. They don't look at short-term results. They look at long-term results and are committed to investing in whatever it takes to sustain success over a long period of time, no matter what setbacks come their way. We talked about having more heart than talent, because that's what always prevails to have that sustainability. And more importantly, they know that if they're going to be able to sell more and add more value to others with what they do, they have to invest and develop their people first, because it always comes down to people first before you can put out a good product or service. You're not taking care of your people or yourself if you're a one-man, one-woman show. You're not going to raise that bar of value. So what I'd like to discuss with you is how to go about becoming a transparent leader and what makes up a transparent leader. I call it the five I's, not your eyes itself, but the letter I. So one, let's take a look at the first one. So the first one, again, is having insight. See, you can have a vision, but without insight to take that knowledge and actually apply it to make it sustainable, won't get you far. Transparent leaders have tremendous insight to be able to really understand not only the strategy and vision, but be able to see ahead, to be proactive, to determine where there could be challenges or setbacks. They apply that knowledge continuously to strive towards their desired objective. They take initiative, which is number two, meaning that they're proactive. They don't wait for something to have a setback or wait for something to happen in order to react to make a change. They're always one step ahead. They know with what they're doing will only last so long before they have to modify or adjust something to be one step ahead of where they are over their competition. But see, they don't view the competition as a threat. They actually want to work with their competition, but they know that their only competition is making sure that they continuously always raise the bar to add value to the people they serve. Next, they have what we call impact. So with that impact, they're able to really deliver from the heart. They're not being passive. They are committed 100% to what they do and take pride in everything they do. Next, they have influence. See, with influence, they're not trying to persuade somebody to adopt a certain way that they look at things, whether if it's with their own people or their customers that they serve. What they do is they lead from example and put out information from a neutral standpoint that allows their own people and their customers then to draw their own conclusions from it, empowering them to be their best and to take action. So a big difference what people might interpret what influence means, trying to persuade somebody to see your side of things. Completely opposite. And next is integrity. And without integrity, all of the other four I's would be meaningless. There have been some great leaders in our world, sometimes for the bad, you know, some dictators. But if you looked at them, they did all the right things, even in a bad way, with the first four. But what they lacked was integrity. And integrity means you're empathetic, you're kind, you're not enabling, you're not pleasing, and you're serving your people first in order to serve your customers at the highest level. So when you look at companies like Amazon, Starbucks, Apple, and you ask yourself, why did these companies play at a higher level than say your typical company? It's because they're transparent, and it starts with their leadership all the way down. Look at Starbucks. You see the retention rate. Every time I go into Starbucks, I see the same people, and they've been there for years. Why? It's because they put their people first. They're transparent. They operate from their strengths rather than the weaknesses, and they leverage their strengths and weaknesses with one another as a team. So the things that we shared today, and I could talk for another half an hour on this, and there's plenty more to talk about transparent leadership, but we won't have enough time to do that. But the key takeaways here are that when you come from the heart and you operate from your strength, and you're truly authentic and transparent with who you are, and you're kind and empathetic with the people that are working with you or working for you, you are going to empower them to do things greater than they would ever have done on their own. And with doing that, you're going to increase the value that you put out there. And the more value you put out, the more revenue will come in. The more retention that you will have to retain those employees that will stay with you to keep performing their best to put out quality service and products. Transparent leadership is here to stay, and is something that you should strongly look into for whatever you're doing in your business, your community, or your personal life, because the principles are all the same and can be applied to have a successful life where you could have sustainable success on all levels. But again, it always starts with you being the example and empowering people around you to do the same. It's not about your title. It's about your action and what you do. So today, look into transparent leadership, commit to it, study the principles, and begin to see the magic happen. Have a great day.